Take your Bibles today, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We continue the great heroes of the faith chapter of Scripture. What's so unique about this chapter? Well, every one of these are stories about people who were just ordinary human beings who learned to trust God. And they're not there because they were perfect or because they were sinless or anything like that. They were there because they learned to follow the Lord. They learned how to trust and obey. And that's what God is looking for from all of us as well. Hebrews 11, we're going to start reading at verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of the heavens, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles in the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in fact in the act of offering up his only son, of whom he said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Can you imagine what it was like to be a man like Abraham? We've already talked about the fact that he left a very civilized area of the world, the Ur of the Chaldees, and left that land just because God asked him to, and went off into a land where he didn't even know for sure where he was going. And it was no well-populated land, at least as far as nice cities and all of the things that we take so much for granted. There wasn't, all the accompanying things that we look for, and none of that was there. They were living in tents. They didn't even have their own place, their own home, not even an apartment or a condominium or anything like that. And yet through it all, we see that Abraham is looking for the promises of God to be realized through himself, through his descendants, and through them for all of history as well. We want to notice four things with you today about the subject of faith. First of all, we look at the power of faith that is talked about in verses 11 through 12. When Abraham was 99 years old, and when Sarah was 90, they still did not have any children at all. Now, what was so amazing about that was the fact that God had promised them not only children, but that through them, the descendants that they would have would be as large as the sands of the seashore and as many as the stars of the heavens. And you might look at their situation now, one 99, the other one 90, and you say, well, I guess God got something goofed up there. He didn't intend to follow through on that one anyway. Maybe we misunderstood the message. Maybe we didn't comprehend what he was trying to tell us. But remember that song we sang this morning, God will make a way when there seems to be no other way. And that's exactly what God did. Because one day, there was an interesting thing that happened. Three individuals showed up at Abraham's house. And we know that one of these was the Lord himself. Jesus Christ did not just appear in history at Christmas time in Bethlehem long ago, or during the 30 plus years that he was here on earth at what we call the first coming. Actually, there were many comings of the Lord to the earth even prior to that. They were brief, they were short-lived by comparison, but they happened nonetheless. Here are three people now, they show up at Abraham's door. One is the Lord, the other two are angels. And they're coming to see Abraham, and the Lord tells Abraham, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, is going to have a son. I mean, can you imagine the shock that must have been when he heard that message? Sarah heard it too. She was standing off in the background somewhere, maybe not seen by the native eye, but nonetheless she was there and she heard it all. And the Bible says that she actually laughed. She thought, how in the world could that happen now at this stage of my life that I'm going to give birth to a child? But you know what happened, of course? 1 year later, just the way God said, that child was born. God always fulfills his word. We need to remember that fact. Sometimes we think, things look hard, things look difficult. Is it worth it all to serve Christ? You know, is the Bible true? Is this right? Is that right? Listen, God always fulfills his word. If God were a baseball player, he would be batting 1,000 all the time. He'd never fail. And you know what? God never does fail. The child was born, and they were so happy about it, they gave him a name that was fitting. They called this child Isaac, which means laughter. There was a lot of joy in that home, and you can imagine how excited they would be. In times of divine delays like this, we must remember the words of Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, and my soul waits, and in his word I hope. That's an important statement. Psalm 130 is the psalm in Scripture that was the first passage of Scripture I ever wrote a sermon about and preached. I think I told you that story one time very briefly about Lexington Green Chapel and how Lawrence Vanderroost allowed me to speak out there. And this is the passage we use, Psalm 130. And that always has been a very important psalm to me because it was something that really I started public ministry with this psalm. But look at what it says there. It states the fact here that I wait for the Lord. Okay? We're not waiting for ourselves. We're not waiting for some other human being. We're not waiting for some plan that we have conceived in our mind. No, we wait upon the Lord, and in his word, we have our hope. That's where our hope is. Our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's good advice that the songwriter gave us. Trust God's promises, and what even may seem to be hopeless, God can and will make a way. God will fulfill every promise that he has ever given to us. There's a second thing about this story, though, related to faith, and we see that in verses 13 through 16. For the person of faith, God's promises are as good as reality, even though they have not yet been fully realized. And that was certainly true in the life of Abraham as well. John MacArthur notes the fact that his promise of glory ahead was an encouraging one and certain to the patriarchs as if they actually possessed it. These people had amazing faith. You think about that. They're being told certain things by God. They haven't seen it yet. They haven't realized it yet. And yet it was so certain in their mind and in their heart that it was though they had already entered into the possession of these promises. They had a sampling of the promised land that they were promised. Remember, God had promised the land of Canaan would be their possession. You hear a lot of discussion nowadays about the land of Canaan, and people fighting about the land and all of that. We remember that way back in history here, God has given that land, the land of Canaan, as possession to the Jewish people, to Abraham and to his descendants. You notice, too, that not only had God given that promise, but he also promised that they would have children and they would raise up their children. God also promised that they would have great wealth, even to the point where kings would come from their descendants. And all of these things were to happen systematically throughout the unfolding of history. God brought all of these things into reality. Abraham himself was a very wealthy man. Lots of flocks and herds. Isaac the same. Jacob the same. Even Esau, the child who was the rebel, you might say, in the family. Nonetheless, he also was blessed of the Lord. Even though he was not one of the what we would call the people of God, in the sense that he embraced the God of Abraham, yet God blessed that man in many significant ways as well. And you see that this is happening here in the story that we read. The most positive thing about our faith is not what we can see or what we can measure, but it's about the promise that one day we're going to see these things realized, including the greatest promise of all: we will be forever with the Lord. Can you imagine how great that's going to be? I mean, we look at somebody's life nowadays, and you know, we hear about people that live a long time. I knew a lady some years ago that was a resident of Friendship Village, and she was 105 years old. And I'd say, boy, that's a long life, man. She really lived a long life. Yes, she did. But you know what? What God has promised for us, 105 years is nothing. God is going to give us an eternity, an unending life. Can you imagine that? Can the world do that? Can the world give you a life of eternity? Can the world give you a home with God? Can God, or rather the world, give you a home with God that is total perfection, where there is no sin, no crime, no pain, no suffering, where every tear will be wiped away? You look at all the sadness in the world today and you say, how in the world can all of this happen? Is there any hope? There will be hope, I tell you, because the day is coming when God will wipe away every tear that has ever been shed, every bit of suffering that people have ever had, no matter what the cause of that suffering may have been. God is going to take care of that, and God will bring into our existence eternal joy that can never be taken away. It's a forever thing. And Abraham believed this. His later descendants also believed this. It's interesting to see what happens. That nothing in this life, including God's most abundant earthly blessings, will give a believer and satisfaction and joy that comes with the absolute source of the coming glory that God has for us. It's nice to have good things in this life. It's nice to have blessings. It's nice to enjoy all the good things that God gives to us. But you know what? We haven't even seen a sampling of what God has in store for those that love him. David declared, when he thought about the future, he said, "One thing I have asked from the Lord, and that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord forever." Isn't that amazing? That's what God is going to do for us. It's amazing. You might say to yourself, well, you know, this all sounds great, but sometimes, you know, it's almost like you need some kind of special proof. Sometimes people want that, don't they? We're like old Gideon back in the Bible. We want a sign. And you know what? There are times when God may submit to our weakness and give us a sign. But you know what? many times God doesn't, because really no sign is necessary. If God has said it, that settles it. And you look at the story of Abraham here about the promised blessings that God is going to bring, and we see the story that occurs in this third section here, the proof of faith. Can you imagine what it would be like for Abraham to watch this boy Isaac growing up, enjoying time together, you know, being able to have fellowship, being able to do the things that they loved, knowing all of this was happening, and yet, what happens? One day God comes and says, now, I want you, Abraham, to take that boy, Isaac, the son that you love, and I want you to take him up to the top of Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him on an offering there, on an altar, in sacrifice to me. You'd say, oh, what a terrible thing. How could God possibly have thought of that? I want you to realize that that kind of thing happened in Canaan on a fairly regular basis. People were engaging in things such as human sacrifices. Abraham had certainly heard of human sacrifice before, but he had never been asked by the God who made the heavens and the earth to engage in such a thing. But not knowing what was going to happen, but believing in God, believing that if God had given to him his son in the first place, in fulfillment of that miraculous promise, if God could do that, God could even take his son if he died and raise that child up from the dead and give the very life of that child back to Abraham again. That's amazing when you think about it. There had been no resurrections of the dead that we know of from Scripture at this time. Now, there would be others that would happen. We know about people who were raised even though they had died. We know the story of Lazarus. We know the story about the poor widow too, who was taking her son on the way to the cemetery and crying because she had lost her boy and now he was dead, and what a sad thing it was. And Jesus came along, and like he sometimes did, he broke up another funeral. He brought that boy back to life again. God can do those things. God can make a way when he desires to do this. And that's what he did with Abraham. Abraham went up there with that boy. They went to the top of the mountain. The boy said, Father, here's the fire. Here's the wood. Where is the offering itself? If you were Abraham, what would you have done? What would you have said? He made the most amazing comment. He said, God will provide a way. God will provide an offering. And when they got up there, he put his son on that altar and was prepared to go ahead with the sacrifice, and God stopped and said, Abraham, don't do it. I wanted to know how strong your faith really is. I wanted to know if I were more important to you than even that boy. I know that you are willing to follow me. Take that boy off of that altar and look. You see that ram over there in the thicket? Get that ram and take that ram and put it on the altar and offer the ram in its place, in the place of the boy. And so Abraham did. And you know, in doing that, we have one of the greatest pictures of what the gospel really is all about. Abraham did not have to offer up his son in the end. But you know what? That was a picture of what God the Father in heaven would do when he brought his son into the world and he laid him on Calvary's cross and allowed him to be crucified and humiliated and tortured and put through every kind of shame. And yet he did all of that for one special reason, and that was so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven, so that there would be a way open whereby we could enter into heaven. How can you get to heaven? You can't do it, and neither can I. we have to depend on our own good works to get there, we're not going to make it because we don't have the goodness that is necessary. God is a God of perfection. But you know what? God gave His Son. He sent His Son to die for you and for me. He gave His only Son. And when you think about that, you realize that He must have an amazing love, amazing concern for you and for me. The picture of that event on Mount Moriah was a forerunner of the great picture of what would happen on another mountain many years later on Mount Calvary. There on Mount Calvary, God offered up His one and only Son. And Jesus went to the cross willingly. The Bible says in Hebrews that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and despised the shame. Jesus would gladly have avoided that cross, but you know what? He was willing to go in obedience to the Father's will and go to the cross and suffer and die for sinners because He knew that through this, a way of salvation would be open for everyone. The Bible says that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He wanted to do it. You ever realize how much God really does love you? That God would send His Son into the world to do that? Wow. We can hardly imagine that. We hear about a child dying at an early age or something like that, and we are sad, and we think it's totally painful, and it is. But you know what? God gave His Son, a perfect Son, and offered Him up so that you and I might have salvation. And you know what? As far as Abraham is concerned, Abraham is talked about, as we mentioned in a previous sermon. He's talked about several times in the Bible, many times actually. But one of the things that is talked about Abraham is in John chapter 8, where Abraham is commended because he was the first one in the Bible that we know of who believed enough in the resurrection of the dead that he was even willing to offer Isaac if that's what the Father in heaven wanted. Huh. How can you even imagine it? And yet he had that kind of faith in God. Faith to believe. Faith to the uttermost. And God commended him for it. But you know, the time came when Abraham too would come to the end of his life. He saw his son grow up, that child of the covenant, Isaac. Abraham saw Isaac. Isaac would come, and there would be Jacob, and there would be the tribes of Israel, and on it would go. Eventually, through that same line of Jewish people, there would come the seed of Abraham par excellence. Jesus Christ is of the seed of Abraham, of the Jews. The Bible says that salvation is of the Jews. Why? Because salvation comes through Christ, and Christ is a descendant of Abraham. But you know what? If you are in Christ, you are one of Abraham's seed too. You are an heir of the promises too. You are an heir of everything that God promised to Abraham. That promises are for you. Now 175 years old, after 100 years of living in tents, I don't know how that strikes you. I was thinking about that today. 175 years old and still living in a tent. Oh, I don't even like to live in tents at my age, you know. I appreciate everybody that likes to camp. And, you know, when I was a kid, I enjoyed going out for a night or two with my buddies, and we'd camp out and stuff like that. But, you know, a long time ago, I gave up tents for a good Marietta. A good motel somewhere or a Holiday Inn or something, you know. I mean, I like a better place to stay than a tent, but Abraham has been sleeping in tents for 100 years. You might look at him and say, well, Abraham, how does it look now? You don't have the land here that God said, yeah, but we've been living in it all these years. Yeah, and we do have great wealth that God has given to us. And yes, God did give me a son. And yes, I'm seeing my family begin to grow. And I've seen God bless me in so many ways. There are so many wonderful things. Yes, but is that all there is? No, said Abraham. There's a lot more. Because you know what? The tent is a picture of what is true of every Christian. You and I as Christians are pilgrims in this world. We live in a temporary situation. That's what a tent really is. It's a temporary thing. If you want to describe the life of Abraham, you can summarize it all in two things. Abraham was a man who lived in the tent, and everywhere he went, he erected an altar. Those two things. The altar and the tent. That's the whole picture of the life of Abraham right there. A pilgrim and a stranger, and yet one who had total confidence in God and trusted in him right to the very end of his life. Aged 175, 100 years in the tent, Abraham breathed his last, died a good old age, an old man full of years. The Bible says that he was gathered with his people. And he was gathered to his people. And who are his people? His people are all of the heroes of faith that we've read about so far. You see, when you're a Christian, that's your real family. We thank God for your background. We thank God for your heritage, for your ethnic background, for what people, what part of the world you come from or whatever. All of that is significant. It's all important. I know as a lot of times I hear people talking about that, and that's very important to many people. But you know what? The real family that is ours is what? It's the family of faith. And when Abraham was gathered to his people, who was he gathered to? He was gathered to Abel. He was gathered to Enoch. Remember him? The guy that was taken directly to heaven and who did not die? He was gathered to be with Noah and all the other family of faith that was there before him. And you know what? If you know Jesus Christ, that's your family too. And one day, the Bible says you and I are going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there all the great saints of God from the Old Testament as well as the New will be there as well. Abraham and his descendants and all the saints of God who have gone before us and who will come after us. They're all going to be there. What an amazing thing that's going to be. We think it was incredible to see someone drop by from another state and visit our camp here this week. You know what? Just think. Someday we're going to sit down at the table and we're going to eat with people from all over the world. People from all different ages, from all different time periods in history. People who didn't even know about cars or about rocket ships or anything like that, but nonetheless who knew our God. And that will be the thing that will unite us together because we are all one in Jesus. The world can't get peace in this world. Why? Because they want to get it without Jesus. There's division, there's strife, there's people killing each other all over the place and fighting each other all over the place. Little do they realize that only in Jesus is there to be peace. Only in Jesus is there to be unity. Only in Jesus is love to be shown and experienced. Give your life to Jesus. That's what matters. It's the only thing that matters. And if sometimes you're tempted to get a little weary of the Christian experience, I want you to think about Abraham, because you know Abraham kept on following the Lord no matter what the challenge was. Someone has well said, never judge the path that God leads you on until you get to the end of the path. And remember, you're not at the end of the path until you get to heaven. And that's what we have to look forward to next. It's not just the next exciting earthly event, even no matter how many fun things we might even have here at Faith Chapel. The things that we're really looking for next beyond anything else is a time when we're going to gather into heaven. We're going to be there forever. And boy, when you think about that, now you're on the solid ground where Abraham was, because Abraham was willing to give up everything for God. And you know what? In the end, Abraham and his descendants received everything that God had said they would receive. The land of Canaan, a great multitude of people, great physical wealth and prosperity. Amazing things that God had promised to them were given to them, but you know the greatest thing of all? They became the very vehicle of blessing to the whole world, bringing salvation to the world. God has brought salvation through the Jewish people. And you know what? It's because of them, because of Abraham and his faith many, many years ago. It's because of that that you and I are able to sit here today as those who have faith in Jesus Christ. The Jewish people aren't just some group that came along in history. They were some group that God used in history to bring the world a message of salvation throughout history and on and on and on into all eternity itself. Because of this man's faith, that salvation that was brought through them. That's my salvation. That's your salvation. Do you know him today? Are you in the family of God? Don't settle for anything less. If you do, you'll miss everything. But if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you will find that in him there is fullness of joy. And that joy is without end. Let's pray to God now. Our Father, we thank you for the story of this man. What a testimony he was in his generation. Lord, that's all you're asking from us, just to be a man or a woman of God in our generation. To give ourselves to you, to live for you, to not follow all the world's corrupt ways and corrupt ideas, but to live for Jesus. Lord God, help us to be that now, at this time in history. While we have life, Lord, may we give our life to you fully and completely. We pray this now in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.